did a study with just one community in Queensland, in Warwick. We were interested to find how the role of elders is being perceived in a contemporary community and how we can work with the community to strengthen the role of elders so that through strengthening the role of elders, we can also strengthen the outcomes, improve outcomes for the whole of community.
How are you approaching this from a Western perspective and going into the Indigenous communities?
We actually had community involvement in every stages of the project. We had the initial idea, but we had, through our contacts at the University of Queensland, we were able to connect with the community. We started this project with going to the community and telling them about our original idea and asking them what is it they wanted us to look at. So we've came up with our initial research questions through consultations with the community, and then we consulted the community about their preferred methods, and they told us they preferred us to use qualitative methods. Essentially, the project, the methodology, the research questions and everything about the project was driven by the community. It came from pretty much bottom up is the best way I can describe it. People told us what they wanted to know, and then we just did a study to try and find out and help the community to understand and get clarity on that particular research question.
One of the issues is stolen generations and the loss of traditional knowledge. What did the community say about this?
The stolen generations had a really devastating effect, as we know, on the community, but also on the transfer of knowledge, because people have been taken away from their communities. So the traditional elders, the older generations of elders, have not been able to pass their knowledge on to the current generation of elders. Also, so the elders, in addition to coping with their own trauma, are also finding themselves in a position where they have to reconstruct the knowledge. There is also grief, not only personal grief, but there is also grief about the loss of culture, the loss of language, and the loss of knowledge. So that came very strongly in the interviews that we had with the community members. It certainly had a devastating effect on people as well as on the role of elders.
And the different components of elderships, those are things you looked at, traditional knowledge and empowering elders.
That's correct.
Yeah. What recommendations did you come up with to actually get out of this conundrum?
Our study was better able to understand how elders still play a role in contemporary community because, as you mentioned, Bertrand, there is a breakdown of these traditional structures. So elders perhaps don't play as strong a role, especially in urbanized communities. But we wanted to understand how contemporary community sees it so that we can then work with the community, and rather than go back and try and restore things how they were, perhaps try to strengthen the role that elders play within the community so that there is better outcomes for the community. And some of the things that came out very strongly was that there is breakdown of communication between generations. We also found that young people want to reconnect with elders and elders want to reconnect with young people, and there is understanding that this needs to happen. But at this point, neither side seem to know how to proceed. By working with the community to bring together older generation and younger generation, perhaps providing a space where people can meet up and elders can share their stories and young people can come and interact with elders, that could be a very practical first step that we could take towards reintegrating or repairing that loss of a generational connectedness. Elders were also seen as being important for communicating outside the community, making their community needs heard. People expressed very strong views that, or very strong desire that elders should be represented in all levels of the government. People's voice is heard in all these levels of government and that people's needs are being understood. So there are a few practical things that came out of our study that we can work with the community to help implement some of these measures to make things better.
And that's how you come up with an idea of something that's kind of an elder's shade.
Yes.
And has any communities implemented this kind of initiative, or it's just...
Not to our knowledge, and we've only just completed the study, so the findings are still very fresh. So the next step would now be to work very closely with the community to see how we can put our findings into practical measures to see real changes happening
In many communities, we hear some elders are the last people to speak their own languages. Did you touch on the question of languages that are disappearing?
Yes, that actually did come very strongly, and people are quite concerned about the languages being lost along with knowledge. There was also concern that young people don't maybe have opportunities to not being able to interact with elders. Young people don't have opportunities to learn the languages. So one of the things that came out from our study was that possibly elders could go into schools and interact with children beginning in kindergarten and primary school so that children at least have opportunity to be exposed to language and have opportunities to learn to languages, because there is very strong feeling that once this generation of elders are gone, then there is this huge loss of cultural traditions, of knowledge and of languages.
You're working on now one particular community. Is it replicable to the wider Indigenous but also the Torres Strait Islander communities as well?
We use very replicable and very robust methodology. We could certainly repeat this study in other communities, and it would be interesting to see how common themes perhaps arise from different communities and how different communities perhaps are different, because every community would be faced with their own challenges. For example, people living a traditional lifestyle in Northern Territory would have different challenges to people who live in urban, more urbanized environments such as Warwick. Yeah. So I think it would be important to continue this study in different types of communities just to see the commonalities and understand the differences. And also, we also have plans to not only do similar studies with other First Nations communities, but also in ethnic communities, for example, Chinese society and Greek societies, that they have much more emphasis on eldership and respect for elders than traditional Western societies. So we would like to extend this study to understand broader role of elders in the more mainstream community.
Yeah, and in the African communities, elders are extremely respected. An elder is one of the most respected person in any community, regardless of their wealth and educational status. They're just respected for being holders of knowledge and wisdom, whereas in the West, an elder is just good to go into a nursing home and be forgotten there.
Correct, and I think it's the loss of wisdom that I think it's going to be quite tragic if we don't harness this life experience, life knowledge and wisdom that we're not able to pass it to generations. And like you, I actually grew up in Eastern Europe. I grew up in Belarus, in former Soviet Union. I grew up in a small village where I would describe it as a fairly tribal village. You know, people still lived fairly traditional way of life, and elders actually played a huge role in the community. They were holders of wisdom. If you needed advice, you would go to a community elder or village elder. I grew up with that, and I see that in the more traditional Western society, I think it's quite sad that we lost that, because we don't have this sense of belonging anymore. You know, we don't have this sense of connectedness. We're very isolated. We've lost ties with maybe with the broader community.